On the eve of the Packers playoff game at Arizona, NFL Network is re-airing Super Bowl I for the first time in history, what was once thought to be lost footage. To discuss how the video was found, we go behind the scenes with Alex Nolan of NFL Films, who worked on piecing it all together. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals. But we also have another topic to get to today, the re-airing of Super Bowl I on Friday night. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Alexandra Nolan, a production assistant at NFL Films, who's going to help us discuss the airing of Super Bowl I, the lost game tonight on NFL Network. Alex, how you doing?
Good. I'm doing well, Brian. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. Alex, starting at the beginning, can you kind of discuss the unique background of how the game was being broadcast by two networks, and how could it have been that these recordings were lost?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that the AFL and the NFL concept was still new for a lot of fans back then, but, you know, of course, it really didn't keep NBC and CBS from broadcasting the game. It's really the first and only time that's ever happened. So each league had its own TV contract. You know, the AFL was with the NBC and NFL was with CBS. Each network used its own common feed, the same picture, but with different sponsors. Now, here's the unreal part. You have CBS and NBC. Now, how do both networks lose a recording? It actually turned out that NBC and CBS recorded a soap opera over the game, and, you know, back then VCRs weren't invented. So because of the high cost of videotape in the 60s, you know, it was really network policy to reuse the old stock footage. So, you know, now today neither CBS nor NBC have the full Super Bowl I broadcast.
So now we know that the missing film has been found. Obviously, it's airing tonight. Can you tell us the sources from which these were recovered?
Yeah, you know, bulk of the game was from our own film cameras, from our own vault. So there was a couple ground cameras, there was a sound camera, a top and a top end zone camera, you know, so roughly that's about 5 to 6 NFL Films cameras total. Now, to put that in perspective, for Super Bowl 50, we're going to be having about 35 cameras covering the game, which is pretty remarkable. Some other sources that we used were previously produced shows that, example, the Max McGee touchdown that most audiences have seen. And then really what I thought was most interesting was we used a lot of footage from a Scranton, Pennsylvania TV station tape. That tape was missing halftime in most of the third quarter, but we were able to use a lot of the pregame footage, which is pretty remarkable. You can see a lot of the players' faces.
Very, very cool. As I understand it, you kind of played a key role in piecing together this film. Can you describe your role and what you had to do, audio, video? Feel free to be technical. We got geeks on this show, Packers geeks, so feel free.
Sure. Yeah, so my role was to piece the entire game back together. That was my crucial role in the project. So basically, I'll walk you through step by step kind of how it happened. I received a copy of the play-by-play, and then the next thing was I received a copy of the NBC radio broadcast. And that actually was super important and crucial because that was the first thing that I laid down into our Avid editing system, just kind of laid down the entire radio. So I knew kind of listening, I knew exactly where the plays were going to go. And then from there, we took all of our NFL Films cameras, we digitized them, put them into our Avid system, and then really just started going through all the camera tapes, just kind of finding the plays, listening to the radio and using the play-by-play so I knew where they were going to go, and just piecing them in order. And then once we found all 145 plays, we restored them, we remastered them, and color corrected them. And then obviously moving forward, as we were doing this, our goal was really to make it feel as close to a broadcast game as possible.
Very interesting. How long did it take the process from start to finish doing all this?
Probably took about a couple months. You know, we started back in September and we really didn't finish till around December.
Okay. We're talking to Alex Nolan of NFL Films here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Alex, what would you say was the biggest challenge or obstacle you had to overcome in doing this project? Was it just simply finding the footage, or what was it?
Yeah, you know, it really was finding just the order. Like I said, there really was no basis of comparison to go off of the order because both network tapes were erased. So really all I had was to really listen to the radio. And a lot of times, especially on our film cameras, like for example, if I popped in a top camera into our system, you know, I could be looking at a play, but a lot of times it would be a fourth quarter play right in the beginning of the tape, and then the next play would be from the first quarter. So all of the plays on our tapes were completely out of order. So, you know, a lot of times it would be kind of confusing, but like I said, I had the radio and the play-by-play, so that really helped me along. And then some other times, some tapes didn't even have all the plays on them. So I find a couple plays from the top, and then I'd have to go to a top end zone or ground to find another play.
Wow, I can't imagine just the challenge that presented. Where does this project rank up from a unique standpoint among other mm-hmm. projects you've worked on in your life?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, it's definitely the most unique. Generally, my role during the season is to produce content for shows that are heavily focused on current footage of the season, like sound effects. So this is really the first project where I've been able to really dig deep into our vast film vault and, you know, find footage that no one has really ever seen before. So it was really an honor to be able to do that.
What are some of the enhanced and more modern features you kind of alluded to before that viewers are going to notice when they watch the game tonight on Friday evening?
Yeah, sure. So NFL Network will be really overseeing the enhanced and the modern features. But to kind of put it in perspective, you know, back in the game was first originally broadcasted in 1967, you know, it was pretty much void of graphics that I think a lot of us take for granted on Sunday when we watch a game. So back then, you know, very little graphics existed. So we're really going to make sure that we use graphics this time around to really enhance the re-airing of the show. And a lot of those graphics are going to include statistics, down and distance, clock information, and besides graphics, we're also going to be using a lot of pregame, halftime, and postgame segments. There's going to be some social media interaction, some studio contributors, and some live guests throughout.
Well, speaking of, this being a Packers-centric show, our audience will be interested in learning about the former Packers players providing analysis and broadcast. Who are they, and how will that work?
Yeah. So we're going to be having former Packer wide receiver Antonio Freeman. He's going to be joining in studio. And then Jerry Kramer and Dave Robinson are going to be joining us remote. In terms of how that's working, that's really on the NFL Network side. But just kind of going on the topic that this is a Packers-centric show, I just kind of wanted to share real quick. You know, when I was piecing the show together, I was watching the Brett Favre jersey retirement during the Packers-Bears Thanksgiving game. And you know, Bart Starr made a special appearance. And just kind of when Favre and Starr kind of met, it was, you know, really a powerful and incredible moment, at least for me, and I'm sure that goes for a lot of Packers fans. And I have to admit, you know, in the back of my mind when I'm seeing that, we're piecing the game together and no one really knows we're doing at the time. It just kind of felt to me like, wow, like here's an incredible moment that's happening right now. And here at NFL Films, we're piecing together a game that includes this man, a Packers legend. And, you know, to be able to know that we're doing that, I just got super excited just knowing that we're so close to finishing the game and we're watching this on TV now. It was great timing.
Yeah, everybody's going to be so excited for this tonight. I'm excited to watch it tonight. Alex, we're trying to get ready for a game, though, this weekend, some, you know, 50 years later. But we ask all our guests for a prediction on our Friday show. So before we let you go, can you give us a prediction for Saturday's Packers-Cardinals game?
Sure. Well, I will say off the bat, you know, considering how last weekend went, it's really hard to predict anything in the NFL nowadays. But I will say, the last time they did meet in Week 16, I got to admit, the Packers did get a loss handed to them kind of bad. But, you know, the Packers offense was struggling a little bit, obviously, with the offensive line having some injuries. But I got to think I got to go with the Cardinals on this one. You know, they have a great home advantage and they've never lost a home playoff game. So I know some fans listening may be a little upset that I said that, but I think, I think the Cardinals have a pretty good chance.
We won't hold it against you. Thank you, Alex, so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your insight into this project. Like I said, I'm excited to watch it. I think our viewers are excited to watch it. So, we'll see the fruits of your labor tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for everyone to see it too, and I hope everyone enjoys it.
All right. Take care, Alex. Thanks a lot.
Yes, you too. No problem.
Alex Nolan of NFL Films joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have her joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
We'll get to my thoughts on the upcoming playoff game in a moment here. Once again, though, the Super Bowl I, the lost game, airs at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time on the NFL Network and features the first ever re-airing of the game this evening. The three-hour show is hosted by Chris Rose, Steve Mariucci, and other NFL Network talent, and includes appearances by Len Dawson, in addition to Jerry Kramer, Willie Davis, Dave Robinson, and Antonio Freeman. So check that out tonight. Packers news of the day. Okay, some things that happened, you know, since our last episode of Railbird Central, and really late breaking news late last night. In fact, if you're just kind of waking up this morning, if you're listening to the live edition of the show, and you haven't really had a chance to read the internet. Yeah, this may come as news to you because this broke at like, I don't know, 10 p.m., 9 p.m. last night, depending on where you're living. Tight end Andrew Quarles indicates his season is over. Quarles took to social media, took to Instagram, and also kind of simultaneously to Twitter to indicate, hey, his season's done. And just kind of out of the blue, I don't think anybody really saw this coming. At least that, you know, he would be placed on injured reserve, which we think is the indication here. This has not been a move confirmed by the Packers. It came strictly and solely from Corliss and his social media account. To my knowledge, I haven't seen anybody interview him yet. So all we're really working on is kind of a few sentences that Corliss provided, albeit other media outlets have confirmed through multiple sources that Corliss, it's injury related. As you'll remember earlier in the season, probably back near the end of September, Corliss was placed on injured reserve with the designation for return due to a sprained MCL, and it took him quite a while to come back. In fact, he's played in the past three games for the Green Bay Packers, the last two games of the regular season, then the playoff game, albeit he hasn't played a ton or has made a huge impact by any means. I don't believe Corliss has even caught a pass, I don't think, since returning. But you could kind of see he returned to the injury report this week with a knee injury. I haven't seen anybody, you know, talk to him earlier in the week either. I assume it has to do with the same knee that was a problem earlier in the season with the sprained MCL. And again, that's my speculation. I think it's probably one that's could be fairly accurate. Of course, he did years ago have, you know, kind of a lot done on his knee, multiple torn ligaments there back during, it was the 2012 season, I believe. So Andrew Quarles does have a history of knee injuries. But anyway, it appears as if he'll be placed on injured reserve. That, like I said, no move has been made yet. It could just be a matter of time. For all I know, it could have been done 5 minutes ago after the show started, and I haven't been looking. What the Packers do, I don't really know. I've heard people speculate that they could promote wide receiver Ed Williams, especially since it's also, projected that Devontae Adams will not play on Saturday against the Arizona Cardinals, so they could use some help at
wide receiver. What's also interesting is that, in addition to this Corliss injury, the Packers are quite injured at the tight end position in general. Also kind of popping up on the injury report this week is starter Richard Rodgers, who has a hip injury, and tight end Justin Perillo has been injured with a pulled hamstring for several weeks now, has missed at least the last two games for the Green Bay Packers, but he is back to full participation at practice. I would assume he would be active on Saturday, assuming he's back to full go or 100% and is ready to play. But Packers dealing with several injuries at the tight end position in general, and now not having the services of Andrew Corliss whatsoever, presumably. I imagine the Packers will be making this official sometime today. There's really, as long as they're, just promoting from within, promoting somebody from the practice squad, it's not like they're in a rush. They don't have to make this roster move. They could make it at any time if they know, all they're doing is promoting from within. They're not getting some free agent off the street that they got to bring in and make sure he's, flies into Green Bay and make sure he practices. That's not the case. Or I don't presume that to be the case, at least. So just promoting from within, more than likely, will end up being what happens. Other news in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, Mike McCarthy kind of expressed some optimism that Sam Shields would be close to returning from his concussion. He was saying, hoping that yesterday would be the end of it. And I kind of reading between the lines here a little bit, kind of looked like the Packers just wanted to make sure he got through Thursday's practice and didn't suffer any setbacks, didn't suffer any headaches or anything like that. So it looks as if Sam Shields, assuming that didn't happen, could end up playing for the first time in more than a month. He's now missed the past four games since originally sustaining that concussion against the Dallas Cowboys. I believe that was week 14. So it's been a while since the Packers have not, have had his services. They haven't for quite a while. We haven't heard anything yet, and maybe we won't until game time, because Mike McCarthy, his press conferences for the week are over. They never have them the day before a game. The Packers will release an injury report, updated injury report on Friday. Maybe Shields will be listed as a full participant. He's been listed as a limited participant all week. I mean, that might be the only indication that he's ready to return. Otherwise, I don't know. The Packers might just keep it mum until game time. They sure could use his services, though, because like Carson Palmer, Cardinals quarterback, said earlier in the week, and I wrote an article about this at 24/7 Sports, said the Cardinals have the fastest group of wide receivers in the entire NFL, and the Packers sure could use their fastest player on their roster in Sam Shields to kind of combat that and stay step for step with some of these guys downfield. I think that'll be an important thing to watch during Saturday's game. Especially since another fellow cornerback, Quentin Rollins, is not 100%, albeit Rollins, another development here, returned to practice. He was one of only two players who didn't practice the first day of the week on Wednesday, joining Devontae Adams. Quentin Rollins did, though, return to practice on a limited basis on Thursday, giving you some hope that he will be able to return from a quadricep injury. That's improvement there from the rookie, who's been playing really well. Had the big moment this past game where he jarred that ball loose and forced an incompletion. The Packers could definitely use both Shields and Rollins as they face the Cardinals on Saturday. So that's kind of a little bit of an injury update and where the Packers stand as they head into the divisional round of the playoffs. My preview here for the game and some keys. I do think that the Packers... Your keys to the game here. I think one key is that the Packers' offensive line could end up having its preferred five starters. Certainly, J.C. Treader did a very nice job, very good job last week in the wild card round at Washington. much better job than Don Barclay did, for example, week 16 against the Cardinals, the 38-8 loss when the Packers gave up 9 sacks, 8 of them to Aaron Rodgers. That was tough, no doubt about it. The Packers don't want to suffer through that again. And not only that, they had, you know, Brian Bulaga exited that game, you know, mid-contest with an ankle injury of his own, was first replaced by Josh Walker, who almost looked even worse than Don Barclay, believe it or not. And J.C. Treader eventually provided some stability there as well at the end of the game. But I do think if he's ready to go, David Bakhtiari would be the preferred player at left tackle for the Packers, just because he's so good in pass protection. You don't have to worry about him. Perhaps not as good in, you know, run blocking in general, albeit, you know, the difference in run blocking between Bakhtiari and Treader might be negligible. But, you know, David Bakhtiari, he's been there for 3 consecutive years now, basically, lining up right next to Josh Sitton. That chemistry is there. I think they want him out there, assuming he's ready to go. And, I mean, that's the good thing if you're the Green Bay Packers. I mean, if David Bakhtiari is only 95% or something like that, you could sit there and say, you know, why are we going to have a guy who's 95%? Out there when we could have J.C. Treader at 100, and maybe that's the way the Packers view it. But, you know, David Bakhtiari has now missed, I think, 3 games for the Green Bay Packers. You got to assume he's close to returning. He's practiced this week, once again, on a limited basis, but the word from Mike McCarthy is he's trying to do more each and every day at practice, and, you know, I think he's going to be ready to return. And I think that'll be key for a Green Bay Packers offensive line that I think maybe has an advantage over the Cardinals' offensive line. When you look at those two things, this Cardinals team is very good. Good defense, a lot of good skill position players. I think if there's a weakness on the Cardinals team, it is their offensive line and how they struggle to protect Carson Palmer. You saw it during the season finale there when the Cardinals played the Seattle Seahawks and gave up a bunch of sacks that game. That is something that the Packers can take advantage of when they're on defense. Guys like Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, Mike Neals, Nick Perry, those guys all had sacks, some of them multiple sacks last week in the wild card round, and that was such a nice development to see. You kind of expect the Pro Bowl guys, Matthews and Peppers, to come up with a lot of sacks. You don't really expect it when Neal and Perry get involved and have 2 sacks apiece. I mean, when those guys are chipping in unexpectedly, that's tough. And you know, the Cardinals' offensive line is going to, I think, have a tough time dealing that when you've got multiple guys being productive, coming from multiple angles. The Packers kind of running more stunts now with Matthews than ever before, and his quickness off the edge, which has really, you know, helped the team. Have to imagine they'll be trying to get inside linebacker Joe Thomas on the field a whole lot more this week, as opposed to last time when Jake Ryan was exposed by running back David Johnson on passing routes out of the backfield. So they're going to try to get, you know, Thomas on the field as an inside linebacker, and I think that'll allow Matthews more often to play on the edge and get after the quarterback. I kind of see that as being an advantage that the Packers have and being an area in which that, you know, gives them a chance to win this game and be a whole lot closer than the first meeting this season. The thing that makes me demoralized, the thing that makes me really discouraged, is the loss of Davante Adams. I don't know what it was. From earlier in the season, he struggled all year long, has really came on the past couple weeks, and that past week in Washington. I was like, is this the same player? When you saw Davante Adams make that leaping catch on the sideline, that was the best play of his year, maybe the best play of his career. When you saw him catch the 10-yard touchdown in the end zone, I thought that was fantastic. He was breaking tackles earlier in the game, has been breaking tackles for a few weeks now. I just wonder, you know, Davante Adams was limited by that ankle injury earlier in the season, and I wonder if that played a whole lot more than we know about. And I just thought, wow, you know, the Packers receiving group has been this unit all year long that has been, you know, kind of thought of as the reason for the offense's struggles. They can't get open. They can't get separation. And I thought that was the big difference this past Sunday in Washington, that they were able to do those things. And so all of a sudden, you get this guy back and he's contributing. And now it doesn't look as if Devontae Adams is going to play because of his sprained MCL on his knee, albeit nothing has been finalized here. Mike McCarthy still had been holding out hope that Adams could return if he practices today on Friday. And so we'll see if that happens. But I personally wouldn't hold out much hope there. And even if he does play, okay, now he's dealing with injury and he's going to be slower probably than usual. So that really, you know, it gave me hope that the Packers wide receivers would be able to do a whole lot more than they did against the Cardinals the first time around. Now you're kind of taking that away. And yeah, you got Jared Aberderison. Maybe he steps up, but you know, he's a different kind of wide receiver. He's more of the slot type. He's not big like Devontae Adams. He's not the big leaper who can jump up and catch that ball like Adams did last week. I think the Packers are going to miss that. And so I don't have a whole lot of hope that the Packers offense is going to move the ball consistently enough. I think they'll move it better than they did, you know, week 16. I think, you know, with the combination of Eddie Lacy and James Starks and John Kuhn, that the running game can get rolling a little bit. And maybe they'll have a little more success in the passing game than they did last time. But I just think ultimately this Cardinals team is a little bit too deep on both sides of the football that they're going to get the job done. Unfortunately, folks, I hate to say this, but my final score prediction is 30-20 Cardinals for this game. I am 14-3 straight up picking Packers games this season. I hope it is 14-4 by the end of the game. I don't enjoy picking against the Packers. That's what the brain says, at least. And I hope, I truly do hope they win this game and we can make fun of myself on Monday morning as we recap the game here at Railbird Central. But final segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, in addition to the airing of Super Bowl I on NFL Network this evening, once again, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Also going on this Friday, there is two pep rallies. Perhaps only the Green Bay Packers can inspire two pep rallies, one at home, one on the road, one being held in Green Bay, downtown Green Bay. I believe it's 3 o'clock p.m. if you happen to be in the area. I know Packers all-time leading rusher Amon Green is going to be there. The mayor is going to be there. And they're going to kind of continue that tradition of playoff pep rallies. Meanwhile, out in Arizona, in Scottsdale, I believe it's Sandbar Bar and Grill. Out in Scottsdale is where Packers Everywhere is hosting a road playoff pep rally tonight. Wayne Larrivee, the radio voice of the Packers, will be the MC. Packers president Mark Murphy will be there. They've got some Packers alumni there as well. I think it's William Henderson and Frank Winters. If you happen to be going to the game in Arizona or live in Arizona, that might be a cool thing to check out. So yeah, pep rallies in two places for the Packers on Friday. Only the Green Bay Packers, I think, could do that. As for the current Packers team, they will be practicing on Friday before they leave. So right, they could be practicing right now, for all I know, kind of their last preparation session here before they board a plane and head for Phoenix later today. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers, and that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on the show. Thank you to Alex Nolan of NFL Films for being our guest. Check her out on Twitter, Snacks Nolan, and give her a follow. And my call to action, as always, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask on the show, it's free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So in return, could you give us a rating and a review on iTunes? Just go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. and give us a little review. We'd really, really appreciate it. It's one small way to get word out about the show and get us even more viewership and listenership. So thanks for joining us, folks. Enjoy the game. I hope it's a Packers win by all means, and we'll recap it here Monday morning at Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.